We're coming to church this morning just a little late for the choir warm-up, and it's kind of frosty out there. And we, on 18th Street, there was this little girl out on the sidewalk, and she was trying to fly a kite. And in anticipation of the winds of March. But it was kind of still and quiet. She wasn't having much success and kind of dragging along the sidewalk. And it reminded me that we're going to begin the season of Lent on Wednesday, with Ash Wednesday. And Lent is a season that starts kind of a somber mood, kind of a slow, quiet, introspective mood, but in anticipation of the renewal that Christ is going to be doing in our hearts in this season, so that by Easter we're flying the kites in the wind of the Spirit. Before we get to Ash Wednesday, we have this Transfiguration Sunday, which is this passage in Scripture just before Jesus and the disciples move to Jerusalem and the cross, where the disciples are allowed to see the glory of Christ. They're allowed to see Christ as he will be when he returns in power and triumph and glory. I just get a glimpse of that. And then they move to Jerusalem, the cross, and the resurrection. Let's read that passage. It's in Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts now from your word, that your Holy Spirit would talk to each one of us, that we might see the glory of Christ, that we might be drawn in faith, that our ears would be open to listen to the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture guides us into a somewhat different region in the journey of faith that we take. What I mean by that is, normally when we come together in worship on Sunday mornings, The goal is to get closer to God, right? I mean, we live kind of busy, even distracted lives. There's a lot of noise in the world that we live in. And all of that kind of causes us to feel, at least at times, distant from God. And so we come together every week and at other times too, but we come together with that goal, a desire that here we can draw closer to God. Here we can feel the comfort of God in our lives, the peace of God, the assurance of God in our lives. And it kind of helps you then through the week. But today's text, the day that we just read, is kind of in a different area, because it has to do with people who drew too close to God. That it's possible to get too close to God, and that, as it said in the scripture, it's terrifying when that happens. And so it's an experience that we talk about. It's an experience that we have sometimes in life that makes our souls tremble. And those kinds of experiences are things we actually need. That God is not always peace for us. God is not always comfort, kind of soothing for us. That sometimes God comes to us and shakes us. Sometimes God comes to us in a way that makes us tremble in our souls. That kind of experience we can also have in the natural world. In a way, when we sometimes are struck with moments of just awe and wonder, and when we come into God's creation in some ways, and we feel very small in this great universe, we're aware of ourselves in a different way. A friend of mine talked about a time he was either on a surfboard paddling around or a kayak. I forget which it was. But anyway, he was real close to the water, paddling along. He was off the coast of California. And this enormous whale rises to the surface right next to him. And then this whale rotates until its eye is looking right at him. And he was just frozen, just terrified. And then the whale submerged and swam away. And it left him with that sense of just trembling, being certainly not in control, feeling that there's something much greater in the world than he was. He'd been too close to a whale, and it frightened him. But at the same time, what a magnificent experience. What an experience of wonder that, kind of stayed with him through his life, to have been able to be that close and just felt that way. But he didn't want to go out and do it again the next day. You kind of understand that these are experiences in life that are very precious, but we'd like them to be unique. Once is plenty. That's what we're kind of looking at today, is these kind of spiritual experiences. They're pretty rare. They don't come a lot. We don't search after them every single day. But, in the Bible, there's a number of them that we find. Think about Isaiah. Remember when Isaiah went into the temple And he saw, stood in the presence of God, high and lifted up, and in that experience, he becomes aware of his own sin. And he became aware of his own smallness, and he feared for his life. And that conviction of sin, that didn't come out of his own conscience. It didn't come internally to him. It didn't come because he had a low self-image or something like that. You know, it wasn't psychological. It came externally to him. It came out of the presence of God. And as he stood in God's presence, he became deeply aware of his own failure, his own shortcomings, and then had the experience of being cleansed of that sin. Again, not just a sort of a superficial kind of a thing, but very deeply cleansed by God. What an experience he had. And then Paul, remember Paul and how he was struck blind on that Damascus road. And in that experience, the lordship of Christ was made clear to him in a way that was far beyond his own religious convictions or understanding or reason. That in that moment, he became aware, this Jesus is Lord, is Christ, is the King, and gave his life to following the Lord in that way. And then now today, what we read about Peter and James and John, and Peter heard the voice of God at this transfiguration of Jesus, and Peter heard a word of authority that came to him from beyond his own reason, beyond his own self-will, beyond his own kind of ability to figure it out or to decide. And it was clear to him in a way that made his soul tremble. As the scripture said, he was terrified as he heard the word of God. Well, not everybody has such vivid experiences as those. I understand that. But I think all of us in our journey of faith, we come to significant moments in our life when we are aware of the holy. We are aware of the presence of God, of the power of God. We are aware of something beyond our thinking, beyond our control, beyond our deciding or manipulating or making it happen, that God comes close, and it makes us tremble, maybe even terrified. I had an experience years ago of the holy, coming too close to the holy. At a communion service, it was at a pastor's retreat up at Circle C Ranch, and something happened in the taking of the bread and the cup that day that I was all of a sudden filled with this great energy. So much, I thought I was going to burst, you know, and I had to get out of the building right away, and I started to run, and I ran up all the way up. They had a ski hill there. I ran up to the top of the hill and kind of fell apart at that point. And there I sensed this word from the Lord in my life that came to me saying, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to do it, but you're going about it wrong. I had been frustrated. I had been, kind of critical and angry at the people in the church. They weren't sort of doing what I thought they should do. And in that moment, in that experience, there was this sort of, at the same time, this conviction, you're going the wrong way, as well as an affirmation, and then this great sense of the love of God. Great sense of the love of God, that was there. And then we went home, and what I remember is coming home, and it was at the old church, and we lived next door, and so we kind of drove up to it, and I just remember feeling this sense of love for the people of the church that replaced that sort of critical, frustrated feeling. And that love, it did not come out of my desire to be more loving. It did not come out of any kind of resolution, you know, that I had made. Not at all. It was very much external. It was very much something that, in a surprising way, had been given to me. And that was a pretty intense experience. And I don't particularly want to do that again. I got a little too close to the holy. And I mean, if it happens again, it's okay, but it's okay if it doesn't happen again, too. But what a gift, formative gift. That's what I want to talk about today, is this experience that Peter and James and John had in the Transfiguration that frightened them and made them tremble, and yet it formed their lives, especially Peter's life. I think that's where that is. So Jesus takes Peter and James and John up the mountain. Remember, if you were here last week, Pastor Britta talked about these chapters in Matthew are a lot about Peter. Peter is just kind of the central character, and I think that's the same thing that we have here. And maybe Peter was thinking that this would be a good time for rest, a little quiet time with Jesus, go up the mountain, have a few days, like Dan was talking about, the camping trip, that sort of thing. Just enjoy relaxing with Jesus and get a break from all those people pressing around them all the time. Just get away with Jesus. And it didn't turn out that way. Instead, on the mountain, they see Jesus glorified. They see the true identity of Jesus as he will be revealed at his return. There's a Bible commentator named R.T. France, and this is what he wrote. In the experience of the disciples, heaven has invaded earth, and the glory of the Messiah has been revealed. They saw the Son of Man coming into his kingship. And there was a radiance about the clothing and the face of Jesus. And those are both signs of the Messiah. And then Moses and Elijah were present. And at the time of Jesus there and Peter, the Jewish people thought about Moses and Elijah as figures of hope and figures that spoke of the expectation of the coming of the kingdom of God. And there they were. And then, of course, the voice that comes from the cloud, the voice from heaven that comes from the cloud, and it speaks out to say that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. And then giving this very specific direction, listen to him. And Peter starts acting like he's the host of this gathering. And it's like he wants to kind of take control of it a little bit. He wants to serve these honored guests. And he gets this idea, he starts to talk about that Kind of like, remember the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus wants to talk to them and tell them something important, and Martha's scurrying around making lunch and going all over the place. And it's the same kind of thing that Peter's sort of hopping around now, and he's got this idea, I'm going to cut down some branches and make a shelter because it's kind of a hot, sunny day today, and I'm going to make this so you have a nice, shady place to be, and maybe I can find some lemonade somewhere and I can serve you, and maybe a tray of sweets or something, you know. And he wants to kind of take over the situation here. And in the middle of talking about that, right, he gets interrupted. God interrupts him. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't even let him finish what he has to say. He interrupts him. He says, this is my son. Listen to him. And Moses and Elijah disappear. And there's no need for shelters. And then Peter, James, and John fall on their faces, terrified. And it's the voice of God that they have heard. Peter has not been listening to Jesus, not really. He's been with him for 3 years. He's been following around. He sort of listens selectively to what Jesus says. He's never really listened. He's not been willing to listen to the message of the cross. He likes the things about triumph and victory. He's pretty closed to Jesus talking about suffering, about the cross. And so Peter needs to listen with a deeper, more consistent attention, one that allows Jesus to speak to his will, one that allows Jesus to speak to his fears, one that allows Jesus to speak to his opinions. This is how we need to learn to listen to Jesus. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a poem, and actually the poem is about Moses and the burning bush, but it applies pretty well here too. The poem is this: Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush a fire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pick blackberries. I like that. The rest sit around and pick the blackberries. But those who are aware of God, those who see God, take off their shoes. It's holy ground. So often we miss God who is present, who is near to us. We fail to be quiet. We fail to open our hearts to God. We busy ourselves with all manner of distraction. And while we are picking all these various forms of blackberries, we miss the word of God to us. This is my son. Listen to him. I like what Jesus does next. He comes over and touches the disciples and he says, don't be afraid. He grounds them. He brings them back to the ordinary. He brings them now to the journey that lies ahead to Jerusalem. When we get too close to the glory and holiness of God, Jesus says to us, don't be afraid. And then he walks with us. And what of Peter? What did it mean for Peter to truly listen to Jesus? Well, it's very interesting because later on he writes in the letter, 2 Peter, the first chapter, he writes about it. He writes about this experience that he had coming too close to God, because it's that experience that really formed him, formed a life of faith in him, especially a life of listening to Jesus. He writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." After the cross, after the resurrection, Peter remembers the time he was an eyewitness to the majesty of Jesus. And he does not waver, and he does not get off track with some cleverly devised stories, but he speaks to others of Jesus and the glory that is still to come. And his trembling soul becomes a listening soul and a faithful soul. We experience times with God. We experience times of grace, times of mercy, times of holiness, times of conviction, times of love. And then we are to remember, to bring those times to mind of what God has done in our lives. But mostly we are to remember that Jesus gave his life for us, that his body was broken and his blood spilled, that we might know forgiveness of sin, that Jesus indeed rose from the dead, and so we are filled with faith, and the love of God is poured into our hearts. We remember, and we too tremble because of the good news we have heard deep in our souls. Listen to Jesus. Amen. Lord, we come now to your table. We come to remember, to bring to mind your sacrifice, that you gave your life, your body was broken and your blood was spilled that we might have forgiveness of sins. We come to remember the resurrection of Jesus, that you live, that you are victorious. We come to look with hope of your return in glory and power. Minister to our hearts. Cleanse and renew us. Fill us with the love of God. Teach us to listen. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.